the essence of life is not ownership, it is stewardship. You see, the unsaved man, he just wants to accumulate stuff. He just wants to own things. But the essence of life is not merely possessing things, but in stewarding those things that God has given to you. And in recognizing that all of the benefits and blessings of life come from the Lord.
Hi, this is Paul Chappell here at Lancaster Baptist Church. And I want to thank you again for tuning in to the podcast today. I'm excited about the messages God has been placing on my heart through my study time, and it's a blessing to share these biblical truths with you on a regular basis. Whether we're studying about life's journey or whether we're learning more about God's power, we know that our God is a great God, and He's concerned about our direction being right. I hope today's message will be a blessing in setting that direction and encouraging your spiritual walk.
The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." That's probably one of the verses that we learn earliest in our Christian life, and it's probably one of the verses that we say often or hear often, but do not often practice like we should. You know, sometimes it's easy to come to church and sing a song like "Victory in Jesus" or quote certain verses, and they become a part of our Christian culture, but not a part of our everyday life. Well, this morning we're going to learn how to cross the bridge of trust, because I believe there are many people here this morning who have come to a place in your Christian life where you trusted Christ as your Savior, but there may be some areas of the Christian life that you have yet to really trust the Lord in. And we're going to learn this morning how to trust the Lord with all of our heart in the Christian life. Now, sometimes in our Christian life, God will bring trials or transitions or testing. Sometimes God will give us commandments, like the commandment to give or the commandment to witness. And these are all opportunities to either trust God or to go back and not trust in His Word. Well, this morning we see in His Word a very clear call to trust in Him with all of our heart. I heard about a mom who was trying to teach her daughter to trust God and how to give God first place in her life. And her daughter was going to Sunday school. And she said, "Honey," she said, "here's a dollar and here's a quarter for the offering. And I want you to give whatever one you feel you should give to the Lord this morning." Well, the girl went to Sunday school, and after Sunday school, she came back out to see her mom, and her mom said, "Well, how was Sunday school?" She said, "It was fine, Mom." And she said, and what did you place in the offering?" And she said, "Well, Mom, I was going to give the dollar, but the teacher said that the Lord loves a cheerful giver, so I went ahead and just gave the quarter this morning so that I could be a cheerful giver." Now, a lot of times, that's how we operate. We kind of operate by sight. We operate according to what makes us cheerful in that sense. But this morning, we're going to see that God wants our heart to be a heart of trust in Him in every area of the Christian life. After all, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." God wants us to learn to trust Him in every area of our life. Well, let's learn about a journey of trust this morning. I want you to notice, first of all, the blessings of the journey. And as we consider the journey of the Christian life, one of the great blessings to me is the fact that God provides for His children every step of the way. I thank God that He saved me. I thank God that He's given me His Word. And I think this morning, before we consider new areas to trust the Lord in, maybe we should just take a minute to remember all the areas where He's already been so good to us and where He's already provided. You know, notice if you would in your outline this morning, the first blessing is that God provides for us in the Christian life. God provides for His children. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 24 and verse 1, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." And God has provided this earth to provide water, to provide nutrients, to provide the needs of His people. John chapter 3 and verse 27, the Bible says, "John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." How many of you are aware this morning that every blessing in your life has been provided by Almighty God, and that He has provided many blessings that we simply do not deserve, but that by His grace, He has given them to us? Now think about that with me. If God has provided for you, and He has, and if God has provided for me, and He has, then we need to recognize that He is the owner of those provisions. He's the one who has entrusted them with us. He is the one that has given. He is the provider. He is the owner. It has been stated that the law of rightful ownership says when we are blessed with money and material things, we are not getting what we deserve, but what God in His grace lovingly allows us to enjoy and care for. How many of you are thankful you don't just get what you deserve in this life? But we are given by the grace of God many blessings beyond what we really deserve. God, as the owner of all of this world in which we live, provides portions of the blessing to you and to me. Look at Psalm 50 and verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, God says, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. And so everything that this world has to provide is owned by God and is given by God. He is the owner. And secondly, that means we are the stewards of the blessings that He gives to us. When God gives you children, when God gives you a job, when God gives you a home, when God gives you food, when God blesses you, when God gives you money, He says, I want you to be the steward of my blessing. One of the verses that we often see concerning stewardship is found in your notes, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. Moreover, it is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. That's the stewardship with the Bible. That's the stewardship with the blessings of God to our life. He says, I'm going to give you these things so that you will manage and steward them according to my will. That's why we say the essence of life is not ownership, it is stewardship. You see, the unsaved man, he just wants to accumulate stuff. He just wants to own things. But the essence of life is not merely possessing things, but in stewarding those things that God has given to you. And in recognizing that all of the benefits and blessings of life come from the Lord. Randy Alcorn, in one of his books, said, if God was the owner, I was the manager. I needed to adopt a steward's mentality toward the assets He had entrusted, not given to me. A steward manages assets for the owner's benefit. The steward carries no sense of entitlement to the assets he manages. It's his job to find out what the owner wants done with his assets, then carry out his will. You know, whether that's the purchase of a new appliance, whether that's consideration of Christian school for your child, whether it's this coming March 14th offering, all we're simply to do is say, Lord, You're the owner, You're the provider. How do You want me to allocate these resources that You have placed here before me? I want to steward this according to Your will. A couple of weeks ago, I was speaking to the auditors from our new CPA firm, and they come in and ask questions of different ones and spend a lot of time with our accounting department and so forth. And I said, we're just glad you're here, man. I said, we appreciate your helping us to steward the blessings of God upon this church. And one of the men said, you know, that's the theme we hear from the people who serve here. I said, I'm glad, because that's exactly how we feel. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. He's the owner, and we are the stewards or the managers of His blessings. And so the first thing that we see about this journey and the first reminder we have this morning is the simple fact that God provides for us along the way of our journey. Some of you have seen some tougher times in recent days, and yet, even through the tougher times, dozens of our members have said, God has provided in this way, and God has given me a job in this way. God taught me a lesson this way. God answered a prayer that I had been praying for a long time. God provides for His people. Let me say very quickly, God prospers His people. I'm not talking about the false doctrine of prosperity gospel, but I am talking about the fact that God promises in His Word to bless and prosper people who honor Him and who honor His Word. And it's really basic. How many of you remember Psalm 1 and verse 1? The Bible says this very clearly. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. And he, this godly man, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. My friend, when someone honors God, seeks God's counsel, walks morally upright in their life, don't be shocked when God blesses them. Be thankful that God blesses them. And know that God prospers those who honor Him and His Word. And so He prospers according to the Word of God righteously. Notice also He prospers faithfully. Our God is a faithful God. And some of you have been saved long enough to see He is a faithful God. All too often we regard stewardship simply as a matter of our giving to God. But this aspect is secondary. Before we can give, we must possess. And God is the one who gives to us in order that we, through stewardship, might receive God's blessings and then that we might distribute God's blessing according to His will. Now, that's what James 1:17 says. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I want to say it again. Every blessing we have in this life comes from God who blesses and prospers His people. Every good gift comes from above. Notice what David said in 1 Chronicles 29:12. Both riches and honor come of Thee. David was getting ready to build the temple. He knew that if they were going to gather the materials, it would come from God who had blessed and had prospered them. And so the greatest blessing of all is salvation. And we learned last week, that's where the Christian life begins. We enter into the Christian life by receiving Christ as our Savior. But how many of you would agree with me that along the way of the Christian life, it's not just about getting saved, that's the beginning point, but after you're saved, God blesses and God provides and God meets the needs of His children. How many of you can testify to that this morning? God blesses His children. Now we see the blessings of the journey, but I want you to see with me this morning what I've called the bridge of trust. The bridge of trust. And if you haven't been there, God's going to bring you there soon on your journey. God's going to bring all of us to a place where we get saved. Boy, we like that. We go to church. We like that. We find a Sunday school class. Nice people. We're growing as a family. That's a blessing. Things seem to be going well. All of a sudden, though, we will come to a place where we're standing at a bridge and where it's going to take trusting in the Lord with all of our heart to cross over that part of the Christian life. And how many of you have found sometimes in the Christian life there's more than one bridge of trust, but there's many opportunities to trust in the Lord and to have faith in Him. After all, we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is a test of the heart. And when you come to a place that you're not really sure how to cross, you're not really sure what to do, now your heart will be tested and your faith will be tried. I remember years ago, I went to the Philippines for the first time. I think I was 14 years old, and there's a group of folks going on a missions trip and several pastors and maybe a few youth pastors and some young people. And we flew to Manila. We caught another little plane down to Baguio City. And then from there, we took some jeeps up into northern Luzon province. And we went as far as those jeeps could take us in the rain. And they pulled the jeeps over. And now we got out. And there were some men from a place called the Kalinga Jungle. And they had been reached by one of the missionaries with the gospel of Christ. And so they met us with these pitch lamps, kind of a fire really coming off the top of bamboo pitch. And now they're taking us through the jungle. They told us, by the way, there's a lot of terrorists here in the jungle, some communists too. And so I was just sure that around every corner we were going to get jumped or shot or something, you know. And finally we got past that danger and we came to a mighty rushing river, maybe 50 feet wide or so. And to get to the missionary outpost, to the church where we were headed, we had to cross the river. Now the problem was the bridge had not been engineered by graduates of the USC School of Engineering. This particular bridge was made of bamboo strips. It had little vines kind of for the handles. And here's this rushing, swollen river going below us. And we're standing there looking at about an 8-inch to 10-inch plank. And we had to walk across the river by crossing that bridge. I'll tell you, I wasn't too excited about it. And as I looked at that, I began to think, all right, those preachers are kind of heavy set. And I don't know a lot about engineering, but I think I would be wise to let them go on the bridge. If they make it, then I'll go over safely. That's kind of how I thought it. And sure enough, one by one, they brought these little lamps, and they began to take the missionaries and different ones across. And I was one of the last ones, I mean, hanging on both sides and looking below. Finally got to the other side, and praise the Lord, I made it no problem. Now, my reasoning was basic human reasoning. My reasoning was, well, you know, I'll watch and see how they do, and I'll kind of step back here and kind of let them test it for a while, and then maybe I'll run over later myself. But you know, there will come times in your life when God will put you into a situation where you can't gauge your obedience by what someone else does, and you can't judge your activity as a Christian life by how someone else made it. It's going to be between you and the Lord to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And I want you to know that one of the real bridges of trust that people face in the Christian life is a bridge called tithing or giving to the Lord. Many people are glad to be saved, and they like church, and they like meeting friends at church. And then all of a sudden, God says, now, I've given to you, right? Yes, you have, Lord. And I've given you a job, and I've given you the blessings of this earth, and I've given you your family. Yes, you have, Lord. You've been good. And now God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to honor me by taking some of that I own and that I let you possess and that I let you steward, and I want you to honor me with it. And for many people, this is a big test of their faith in God. And so let's look at the bridge of trust. The first aspect of trusting God is to learn to honor the Lord. Notice in verse 9 of Proverbs 3, if you would, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now, for those of you taking notes, the word honor means weighty or heavy. In other words, giving to the Lord should mean something to you. It should be a weighty matter. It should be something that's from your heart. I'm going to honor the Lord today as I give to Him. The Bible simply says, honor the Lord with thy substance. In other words, when we give tithes and offerings, we're not giving to the church, we're giving to the Lord, and we're honoring the Lord in this way. And the more passionate our faith, the more consistent our honor and our giving to the Lord. The more serious we are in our relationship with the Lord, the more serious we are about honoring Him. Did you know that in 16 of the 38 parables Jesus gave, that 16 out of 38 times His parabolic teaching dealt with money, or giving, or possessions? Because Jesus knew that if we had our treasure with Him, our heart would be with Him, and that we truly would want a closer relationship with Him through this form of worship. Now, in this verse, verse number 9, when it speaks about first fruits, it's speaking about the tithe or the tenth part. In the Bible speaks many times about giving offerings above and beyond the tithe. In fact, 724 times we find the word offering. It's in your notes one time there, Exodus 35:21. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. And so many times people gave offerings like we're doing on March 14th. But here in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9, it's speaking about the tithe. And so let me just spend a moment to help many and to review with others what this matter of the first fruits is all about. God says, I want you to honor me with the first fruits. That means the first part of my blessing to you. The first part belongs to God. Leviticus 27:30, and all the tithe of the land, whether the seed or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. The word tithe simply means a tenth part. Now, in the Bible, you'll find when you read about the tithe, it doesn't say give the tithe. It says bring the tithe. It's not a matter of giving the tithe. It's a matter of bringing the tithe to the Lord. Why do we say that? Because we give an offering above and beyond what is already the Lord's. But here's a basic understanding in the Christian life, basic principle 101 about trusting God, and that is this. The tithe is already the Lord's. It belongs to the Lord, and so we're bringing to Him what is already His. The offering that He has provided for us to give is of a free will and by His grace above the tithe that is given. The LA Times recently was doing a study on charitable giving, and a lot of folks are doing studies on this these days and so forth. And they said that in this past year, past couple of years, I believe it covered, that the Roman Catholics in Southern California had given 1.2% of their annual income to their church. Now, before you get real excited about how good you're doing, the Protestants, they said, have given in the same period of time 2.6. Now, here's the good news, folks. We're not Catholic or Protestant. Isn't that great? We're Baptists. Some of you say, I thought Baptists were Protestant. No, in fact, the Catholics called us during the Reformation anti-baptism because we baptized people who got saved once they understood the gospel of salvation and in essence rejected the sprinkling of an infant. So we were called Anabaptist, and after the Reformation, they dropped the prefix Anna and just started calling us Baptist because we baptized by immersion. But in reality, we were in existence long before the Reformation itself. And the fact of the matter is that with such a rich heritage in Christ, with salvation by grace through Christ, and with all the blessings of God that He has given to us, how many of you think Baptists ought to do at least what the Bible says and bring the first fruits or the tithe unto the Lord? And so all of us can be challenged this morning. Tithing is God's fair way to begin in your stewardship. If you're standing at the bridge of trust in this matter, I want to encourage you to begin walking by faith and trusting God as you begin with that 10% beginning point, giving unto the Lord. I remember 30 years ago when Terry and I were getting ready to get married, and we were talking about establishing our household, and we literally had a little practice budget that we were making. And we looked on the paper, and we could not figure out how we could give 10% and still afford macaroni and cheese and hot dogs and all the other essences of life that you need to enjoy. And I said, honey, I don't see how it's going to work. She said, I don't either. But by faith, we begin. And since that time, God has blessed, and we, of course, have increased and given much more than the tithe every year. But God wants you to begin somewhere. And for some of you today, you're saved, you're enjoying the journey, and now there's a bridge. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Give to the Lord the first fruits of the increase. And so it is the will of God. Time gave it an interesting report. And every year the statistics remain similar. But they said recently that the state of Mississippi is the 49th poorest state in America. Anybody here from Mississippi? All right. I know of one or two in our church. Good people, by the way. 49th poorest state. But the 49th poorest state last year averaged $4,070 in charitable giving per family. That is the second highest giving per capita, per family in the United States of America. The 49th poorest gave the second highest. Now then, go to the state of Massachusetts, and they are the fourth in this survey. They are the fourth wealthiest state in the United States of America. And last year, the average family gave $2,645 per family. That means they were 49th in their charitable giving last year. Someone says, what's the difference? I can tell you what I believe it is. I believe that there are people in Mississippi who know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They are so thankful that they are not hell-bound. They are thankful they're heaven-bound, washed in the blood, on their way to heaven. And my friend, with Jesus as your Savior, there's a hope, there's a joy, there's a desire even to give. And God, even as He did in the New Testament, can touch the Macedonians who didn't have a whole lot and help them to do something great and mighty beyond their knowledge and understanding. And I believe that faith in Christ is a great difference in the giving of those people. Now, God says, I want you to give of the first fruits. When I bless you, I want you to honor me. Every time I bless you, I want you to honor me. Then He wants us to do this secondly with His people. God wants us to honor Him as we gather with His people. The church at Philippi was excellent at doing this. The Bible says in Philippians 4:15, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, the church is called in the Greek language the ekklesia. It means a called out assembly. We are here today called out from this world. Most of us in this room are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are His possession, and we're here called out today for a purpose. And when the churches get together, one of the ways they worship God is by giving to Him. And Philippi did it time and time again, the Apostle Paul said. They would get together, take an offering, and send it to the missionary. Larry Burkett, in his book, Business by the Book, said, one of the primary goals of a Christian business is the funding of the gospel. In other words, as God blesses your business, as God blesses you at work, one of the thoughts a Christian man has has is, how can I further the gospel with this blessing? How can I take the blessing of God and honor my Lord so that others can know how Jesus Christ saves? And so we honor him with his people. Then notice, thirdly, we honor him according to his plan. Now, the Christian life's not that hard. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 16:1. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now think of that. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you. Now in the Greek, every one of you means every one of you. Every one of you that have been blessed, God says, I want you to lay by in store such as God hath prospered you. And so God says, I want you to honor me with my people and according to my plan. Honor the Lord. And then notice the bridge of trust is not only about honoring the Lord, but obviously it's about trusting the Lord. It's about giving him our complete trust. Now notice, if you would, in your notes, Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 8, as we learn how to prove the Lord. Malachi 3 and verse number 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now God says, I want you to prove me. Some of you have heard of the Pepsi Challenge, Pepsi Challenge Coke, right? Well, God says, I'm giving you my challenge. I want you to prove me. And for those of you standing on this side of the bridge of trust, wondering how can you honor the Lord with your tithes and offerings, God says, I want you to try it. I want you to prove me now and see what I can do. You see, what we don't commit ourselves to do, we usually do not do. That's why a couple of times a year we'll have an opportunity to fill out a commitment of some kind so that we can say, this is my commitment. This is what I'm going to do. Now, a lot of folks will procrastinate and they'll say, well, I'm going to start exercising January 1st. No, I'm going to start February 1st. I'm going to start when I buy new tennis shoes. I'm going to start then or later. And they procrastinate. Some folks procrastinate with the matter of giving. As soon as I get a raise, I'm going to give. As soon as I win the lottery, I'm going to give. I've heard that one a lot. Procrastination, it's my greatest sin. It brings me endless sorrow. I'm going to stop doing it, perhaps tomorrow. You know somebody like that? They're always waiting till things are just a little bit better. But God says, prove me when? Prove me when? Prove me now, he says. I want you to prove me now. So the blessings of the journey. Lord, thank you for saving me. Lord, thank you for the job you gave me. Thank you for my wife and children, Lord. Thank you for health, and thank you for food, and thank you for the blessings. I love the Christian life. What's this bridge? Tithing? Excuse me, Lord. I don't know about this part of it. What's this bridge? A trial? Excuse me, Lord. I like the good times. I like all the blessings, but trusting you through this, I don't know about that, Lord. And God says, I want you to follow me even across the bridge of trust. So there's the blessings of the journey, but there's the bridge of trust. And then I want to close this morning just with this thought, the belief of the faithful. What do we believe about trusting God? Look back to your text, if you would, at verse 10, Proverbs 3:10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. God says, if you'll trust me with your business, if you'll trust me with your finances, I'm going to make sure that you don't run out of food. I'm going to make sure that your needs are met. A Bible believer has confidence in the Lord. First, that God will provide for our needs. We believe that God will provide for our needs because, you see, man's extremity is God's opportunity. And God says, I want to provide for your needs. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 2:30, for them that honor me will I honor. Think of that. For them that honor me. Remember, tithing is honoring the Lord. For those that honor me, God says, I will honor. Psalm 37:25, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. J.L. Kraft, the founder of the Kraft Cheese Corporation, who throughout his life gave 25% of his corporate income to the work of God. He said, and I quote, "The only investment I ever made which has paid consistently increasing dividends is the money I have given to the Lord." Isn't that a blessing? And that's so true. You see, you say, "Well, I don't know, I'm going to put mine in Enron, or I'm going to put mine in this or that." And yet, thank God that whatever we give to the Lord pays eternal dividends. Now, there's four ways to take God's blessing as He provides for your need and to multiply those. Let me give them quickly to you. First of all, we need to work diligently. God says, "I want you to work diligently. If a man does not work, he should not eat." Secondly, He says, "I want you to steward efficiently." I want you to take these blessings and steward them. That may mean in studying purchases. It may mean in refining your family budget. It may mean by cutting up credit cards. Can I get an amen on that one? I heard about one fella. He had his credit card stolen. He was going to turn it into the police, but he decided not to because the thieves were spending so much less than his wife spent. He thought he'd just not report that. And maybe you have that problem. Maybe you need to cut up the credit card, steward efficiently. Thirdly, you need to invest wisely. Proverbs 11:6, "A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches." You need to invest wisely so that when there is a need that God brings into your life or in the life of ministry, that you're able to respond to that need. Be careful of get-rich-quick schemes, and be careful of all these things that are just instant this and instant that. But systematically, carefully, do what God would have you to do in your investing. And then fourthly, give generously. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:6, "He which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully." And this is the principle that God is teaching us, that as we honor Him, He will honor us. God will provide for our needs. Let me say quickly, God will provide abundantly for our needs. Some of you are standing on this side of the bridge called giving, this bridge of trust, and you're wondering, if I do that, how am I going to be able to feed my family? My friend, I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. God will provide. Look at Luke 6:38 in your notes there. "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom." Hey, you say, I got a bonus at work. It wasn't from work. It was from the Lord. You say, "Never believe what happened to me. So-and-so did this or that." No, the Lord is blessing you. "Men shall give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." I heard about a man that was in heaven. He entered into heaven, and St. Peter met him there. By the way, it's not going to happen that way, but that's how all the stories go, isn't it? And they're walking along, he and Peter, and they're walking by mansion after mansion after mansion. Finally, they come to this little tiny hut. I mean, this little shack. And the man says to Peter, "All the other people get these mansions, and this is what I get?" Peter says, "Hey, we did the best we could with what you sent ahead." Now, folks, aren't you glad it's not like that? Aren't you glad salvation is by grace and there's no caste system in heaven? Aren't you thankful that every one of us are equal citizens of heaven and that the ground is level at the cross? But I tell you what, we can send our treasures ahead. And the only fruit of that that I believe we're going to see are the souls that we see in heaven who came to Christ through the ministries of the local church and the missions that are supported by the people of God. And so the blessings of the journey are many, many. And the bridge of trust is going to be something that all of us will need to cross. But when we do, we believe that God will provide and meet the needs of His people. It was Jesus who said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And I believe Jesus Christ sets the supreme example. And I want you to think of that as Jesus Christ went up the lonely hill of the skull, as the nails went through His hands and His feet, as the crowns were placed upon, the crown of thorns upon His head. Jesus Christ, as the blood came flowing down, gave Himself in order that we might have our sins forgiven. And He's the one who says, "It's more blessed to give than it is to receive." And I want you to see as we close 1 Peter 1 and verse 18, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold." Let me just stop right there and say, my friend, we don't give money so that we can get our sins forgiven. We are not redeemed because we give an offering or because we knock doors. We're not saved by our good works. We don't do these things in order to go to heaven. We're not redeemed by silver, gold, or dollar bills. But look what the Bible says in verse 19. "But with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Hey, you want to know the way to eternal life in heaven? It's not by giving money to a church. It's not by going out and doing all these good deeds. The way to eternal life in heaven is by having your sins covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the earth. And what I have found is that when a man or woman is truly saved, there is something in their heart. They no longer have to go to church. They no longer have to do religious things, but something in their heart that says, Lord, you have done so much for me. What can I do for you? And how can I follow you in faith and trust? And if you're here this morning and you do not know that your sins have been covered by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, then I want to encourage you today. Don't worry today about crossing the bridge over here, trusting God financially. Let me encourage you today by faith to put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word. 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.